beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Aliens!
I actually love aliens. They're my favorites. Welcome to Arrow Squad. I'm the Shadow.
I'm the Chameleon.
Woo!
I feel so about aliens. I feel really? Like if they're minions working for me, then I'm cool with them.
Well, who's to say that these aren't? Because you are a villain and these aliens are villains.
It's true. I could have been the one to send them. We wouldn't know.
What do you mean you could have been? You still could be.
It's true.
Yes, podcast overlord here. And yes, your plan goes even further than the Earth. That's what you're saying.
Yes, the plot thickens.
Ooh, universal domination. They are the dominators. Hello. Domination. Yep. See? Mm-hmm.
2 + 2.
Knew there was a connection.
And if we were going to have to cover such an epic crossover event, we had to bring in even more fun people. So who is here with us?
But I'm not an alien.
You're not? Darn it.
We are of the same Earth.
38?
We could be in 42 because that's the answer to the universe and life and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute, though. We're of the same Earth, but we're of different countries, which I think is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
We went international. When have we not been international, I guess? The question is, have we gone intergalactic?
Have we? Tell us what galaxy you're from. Tell us your name, your favorite color.
Yes, go.
Well, this is The Flash.
Woo!
I ran down to Star City to hang out with you guys for tonight.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. It's been a while.
Even for Jess alone to do Tomorrow's Legends this week or what?
Yeah, she's by herself.
No, as soon as I'm done here with you guys, we'll watch Legends and, you know, we record tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we tried to do this epic nine-host crossover.
That has the female captain of the ship?
I've been told personally.
Yeah, a certain character that used to be on Arrow that a certain feedbacker who sent a lot of voicemails wasn't exactly pleased with on Arrow. This is just some random happenstance info I have.
That is ironic, isn't it?
Wasn't that guy's name Martin, though?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the Flash. I don't know what you're talking.
I remember Kevin going, you know, like drooling over Sarah Lance, and I have her phone number. Well, no, I really don't, but I did have a good conversation with her at Heroes and Villains, and Kevin drooled and drooled and drooled, and Martin's like, I hate Sarah.
No, when I met her at Dragon Con, I kept it together. I only mentioned Martin's name like 7 times. It was good.
You didn't squeal, though, did you?
I think I should plead the 5th.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's okay. That's okay.
Well, sadly for you guys, as Sarah mentioned this week on Arrow, she prefers girls.
I know. Men, you guys.
I know.
You're out of luck. But
that's slim pickings this week. So
I'm actually not quite sure about Katie Lotz, though. I don't know what she prefers. So maybe there's a chance for you both. I don't know.
So
I just don't know.
Knocked down again. Okay. Go ahead, Kimmy.
I know.
Gonna bring reality into this, aren't you?
Shot through the heart.
I have to be the villain here.
Yep.
That I personally am dating both Katie and Sarah. I'm kidding. So we had some crossover people this week, not just Martin on our podcast. We had some crossover people show up on Arrow. What was that all about? What'd you guys think of our new masked people? Not so new masked people.
You talking like Flash mask?
Like all the masks. So crossover characters in the alien abducted team, we had Sarah, as you mentioned, and Ray, her sidekick on Legends. Is that what I'm told?
Sarah doesn't wear a mask, though, anymore.
I mean, she's more of a suited hero than a masked
hero.
There
we go. Okay, so suit ups. Okay,
so suited, so yes. Like heroes like in like leather suits or ooh, in like Cisco's that. Case with like tech. That. So those are our three main crossover people, right? We had Cisco from The Flash, Sarah and Ray from Legends Tomorrow. Am I missing anybody from the Arrow episode?
We had Flash and Supergirl, but they only showed up for about a minute.
Right. For like a second.
Yeah. I like the 3 second rule thing. So yeah, that was like the end of Supergirl. They had the 3 second crossover and then they had the 3 second Supergirl Flash crossover in this episode.
I feel like if it's less than a minute, we can't really count that as a crossover, can we?
That's true. Like they just weren't even there.
Cameo.
But they did get to beat somebody up. So I'm going to give them a little asterisk and say it was okay.
That's true. That was kind of a cool little move where I have to say this. I loved the fact that they put Wild Dog in his place because he needed to be at that moment. I was like, man, you are being a jerk, fool. And then all of a sudden, like, bam, they do kind of the tag team, you know, Flash or wait, no, it was Supergirl that threw him and Flash smacked. That was awesome. Team up. And then he had respect for him. That was cool.
Yep.
Yeah. But that was about it. And then we had the, okay, hold on here. I know everybody's been really sad and sort of disappointed about, you know, depressed Cisco. Makes sense. Totally understood. But what did you think about the Cisco, Curtis, and Felicity interaction? The triumvirate.
Team nerd.
Yeah. What did you think of that? Did you like it or could it have used a little more because of depressed Cisco or what? Thoughts?
Well, I have no trouble with depressed Cisco. I totally understand where he's coming from. Just because of the story-wise, you have to remember we are on an alternate timeline. This is the original timeline that we all loved Cisco. This is a different timeline.
But it's the future timeline.
But we got Cisco who lost his brother in a car accident, is angry at Flash for not going back to save him. And then he starts to get a little bit okay and get past it. But then he finds out Flash lied to him and his brother's actually alive in the other timeline.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's twice that Flash has either lied to him or hidden something from him. And he's got every right to be upset. And I think because we're in an alternate timeline, kind of a theory that I have is I'm thinking everyone's expecting Killer Frost to be the villain and, you know, have Caitlin Snow, but this alternate timeline could have Cisco go on that path instead.
Interesting.
That's a good point. That was something I was wondering on the Flash episode this week is, you know, who they kind of seem to be toying with maybe somebody becoming villainy. It could be Cisco instead of Caitlin.
You know, that's interesting because he did vibe the whole, you know, Cisco versus, Vibe versus, you know, Killer Frost. So who was the villain in that fight?
Good point.
And doesn't it make, I mean, isn't that the perfect villain origin story arc? His brother dies. He gets angry and he can't forgive his friends for doing it. So it slowly swings him to the evil side.
I would be heartbroken if either one of them went villain, honestly. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, it's cool. Like I love Killer Frost and I love the idea of an evil Cisco, but then on one, but you know what? That's like, that was the entire Arrow episode for me too, was on one hand, I like what they've done. And on the other hand, I was quote heartbroken at what they've done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was interesting that they took that direction for the 100th episode. So this is kind of a general question. So it might just have a general answer. Go with it how you will. But yes or no, did it feel like a 100th episode, like not just crossover, and then not quite yes or no, more open-ended? Is this the direction you wanted them to take the 100th episode?
Does this tie into our feelings overall about the episode?
Just specifically for the Arrow episode. So not necessarily a crossover because crossover, you know, there's fun moments all over the place, but just the Arrow episode. With
talking
the 100th.
Okay. So you're asking, if it felt like the 100th episode and if we liked,
did you like the direction they took it?
Podcast Overlord, you haven't said much. Why don't you go first?
Okay, Kimmy and I mentioned this when we were chatting before it came time to watch the episode. I purposely said, I'm turning my brain off. I'm not going to overthink this. Knowing that we were going to have, I mean, it was impossible to avoid.
Sure.
And that we're going to have so many characters coming back. I said, after, you know, 100 episodes or 99 going in of this show, I just want to let it wash over me. I just, you know, I fell in love with this show and I want to see what's going to happen here. So I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was
a hot shower.
I tried not to go in with any expectations and said, you know, the trick they used with the whole, being under the spell of the Dominators and having this alternate world.
Right.
It was a great way to bring everybody back. Except Manu Bennett, but that's another story.
Yeah, I know.
It worked. It worked. I didn't have any conceptions about what it might be. They had fun with it. The crossover bits, as fun as it is, it still, as we all know, it dilutes each show a little bit because you have so many characters you got to fill in. It never quite feels like a Flash episode or an Arrow episode. It has some glimpses of it, but it doesn't totally feel it. So, I was good.
And yes, we're going to talk crossover in a different question segment because I have some thoughts based on what you just said there, Kevin, about the dilution and dilutingation. Anyway, so I kind of am very similar with you, Kevin, in that I went in sort of not having high expectations or any expectations for that matter because I didn't want to know what they were doing. I just wanted to enjoy it. I loved the Flash episode. I've obviously heard some criticism about that as well. And I loved the Arrow episode and I've heard some criticism and read some criticism as well. I think I look at it from the standpoint of that. There were many moments that I really enjoyed and I felt like it was over before I got a chance to really get into it and enjoy it more. Which I know Martin, you're probably going to agree with me on that one. Cause you and I were chatting about something earlier. I'm torn on the fact that I think they did a good job tying in the 100th episode from the standpoint of let's look back over 99 episodes based in this little matrix dream, you know, that the Dominators had them in. I think it was done well. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was consistent within the construct of the world that they created. I think that was fine. But on the other hand, I wish the 100th episode would have been not a crossover. I wish it would have been its own thing and it would have basically been a complete 100% tribute to Arrow and nothing else. And then they did the crossover. That's what, because it felt rushed and scattered and overwhelming, like they were trying to cram way too much into 43 minutes.
Yeah. One of the things that Kevin and I talked about yesterday was that there were moments in this episode that felt like sort of the true Arrow DNA. I think one of the scenes we talked about, and it was within the context of the alien hallucination, was when Oliver, for the first time in his hallucination, enters the Arrow cave and sees the hood and it's Diggle and sees Felicity there. And she's, you know, basically the same. And even though everything in that context has changed because it's a different Oliver in a different world and it's a hallucination and it's Diggle is Arrow, it still felt like Arrow DNA, even with everything moved around. Mm-hmm. Everything in that scene made sense and felt good with that core there.
Yeah.
And then they would cut from that to other things, which were still, you know, great and fun, perhaps, you know, like the alien tech explosion and all of that. But it didn't necessarily feel like Arrow. It felt like a crossover, which is fun in its own way, but that's not like Arrow DNA.
Mm-hmm. Scattered.
I think if we had had one full episode of Arrow DNA for the 100th and then maybe move the crossover to the mid-season finale, it could have packed more punch on both ends.
Yeah.
Did I still enjoy the episode? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's these little scenes that kind of left me wanting more of the Arrow component, because if we were going to do things like dream sequences, whatever, there's Arrow-esque ways to do that. Arrow sometimes plays with magic in the past. Arrow has played with mythology and mysticism in the past. And things like Aliens tend to be a little bit more on like the Legends or Supergirl side. Mm-hmm. And then things like time travel and so on, that can kind of be Legends or the Flash and interdimensional stuff. But it didn't, the whole premise leading up to the 100th wasn't an Arrow-esque premise.
Yeah.
It's still fun, but it didn't necessarily like feel like a whole episode of Arrow. But that's okay.
Yeah, still no, if they would have done a good, you know, if they would have made it a crossover episode period without doing the 100th episode, it would have been great. And because what they did for the 100th episode was really great. It just wasn't complete. At least it didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
You guys both kind of covered my feelings, but I'll try to put it in my own words. I think, because I wrote a post on the Facebook page, and I'll try to expand on that. All three of you are stronger than I am. I went into this episode with high expectations, because of the way The Flash ended. And, you know, because we were all disappointed with Supergirl's little tidbit, and then Flash took off running, and we were all on the edge of our seat or jumping out of our seats with giddy excitement at how awesome it was. And it ended that way. So I thought Arrow was going to continue because we've had the Arrow and Flash crossovers before with equal amount of action and fun. So I went into it expecting that. And when they kick it right off going into the dream sequences or the mind control sequences and it's all flashbacks and all, I became disappointed and kind of aggravated, and a lot of the emotion was lost on me in it. So I wasn't enjoying that whole first half of the episode. It took me probably half the episode to really wake up and understand, oh, it's the 100th episode. This is what they're doing. They're kind of celebrating 5 years and 100 episodes, and let's bring back some of the beloved characters we've lost over the years. Let's honor all of that. It took me half the episode to realize that's what was going on. That was the feeling I'm trying to get. And then I started to catch up to the emotion of the episode, only to run out of time, and it switched over to the crossover events and they're escaping the spaceship and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel guilty as a fan and a viewer because I've loved Arrow right from the get-go, and I feel guilty that I did not give the characters the emotion they deserve because we've loved them for 5 years. And and this is where I'm with you guys, is I feel like if the 100th episode was a separate episode on its own, not part of the crossover event, I would have known that this is what they're trying to do right from the get-go, and I would have attached to it a lot more strongly and have those deep emotions. And I know I would have teared up because I was getting to that point, but then the crossover stuff happened, and I feel guilty. I did not give them the emotion it deserved.
Yeah. You had a comment there at the beginning where you mentioned how you felt like it started a little bit slow and a little bit flashbacky. And the first scene, and you mentioned first half as well, and really throughout the first half of the episode, there was a lot of that Oliver being supposedly happy in this weird dream sequence, right? You know, he's about to get married, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was pretty hard for, obviously for crossover viewers, that's not something they would attach to. But for Arrow viewers, we definitely would attach to Oliver, you know, risking his happiness or risking his family. But we might've gotten more attached if that was more of happiness with like the core team, again, like Felicity, Diggle, et cetera. Some of the, you know, it was more emotional seeing him with his parents, I guess, rather than the wedding aspect of it. I don't know. We had a comment submitted to us saying the same thing, that they just weren't digging the whole like wedding Oliver Laurel thing.
Oh, see, so I was.
I think that could have been a weak spot. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that is a good point. I personally was digging the Oliver Laurel thing because that's what it started off as, you know, in season one and two.
And that's what it's supposed to be
in the comics. Yeah.
In the comics. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear what you guys are both saying on the emotion. Cause I agree that like I would get into the emotion and then they would jerk out and go to the newbies and you know, like what's really going on in the real world. And then right. I'd be like, whoa, what's going on here? And then they would put you back into the dream sequence and then they would pull you out. And I thought, you know, a way that I would have personally done it if I would have been in charge, which doesn't really matter, but I'll say it anyway. I would have started in the dream sequence and I would have kept in the dream sequence. Like, what's going on? And I would have maintained the dream sequence until the last 10 minutes of the episode where they finally realize they're in a dream sequence. They got to break out of this. And then you realize that the other team has been fighting to break them free as well. Because I think going back and forth like they did was it's like you get, it's like transitions in music, right?
Maybe?
What?
Yeah. Lose the immersion effect.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like I was getting waterboarded or something. It was.
I don't know. Maybe that was the point, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. I
agree with you though.
Yeah.
Well, Cammy, you brought up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, you brought up another thought that I had also had. There's a lot of viewers like we, most of us started with Arrow, but there's a lot of viewers that started with Flash and only watched Flash and maybe started trying Supergirl or whatever. So. From a show's perspective, this crossover event is hugely publicized. If Arrow was trying to bring in more viewers from Flash and Supergirl, this episode wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Because they're showing so much history that people who didn't start with the show
aren't around anymore.
Yeah, so everybody would be confused and who are they? What's going on? And there would be no attachment at all. Yeah. So from it being a crossover event and they're hoping that everybody's watching all four shows this week, they would have lost a whole bunch of people that are only Flash or Supergirl viewers because they'd be like, huh, what is this?
Yeah.
Until the last That's 10 minutes. Point.
They wouldn't understand That's, it.
That is such a good point. If you're really trying, you look at it from a marketing perspective, which is sort of what you're saying, and I'm always looking at things from a marketing perspective.
Nice.
you really want to be able to sell Arrow, like the original quality Arrow at some point and be able to pitch that to somebody as something they would want to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think Flash had its like Flash moment sort of pitch to any audience that's like, this is what Flash is about, even though it's a crossover, this is why you would want to watch it. There was a couple scenes in Flash like that. There were a couple scenes in Legends like that. With Arrow, it was really just that one scene that Kevin and I were talking about, that scene where Oliver enters the Arrow cave and he sees the vigilante and it's Diggle. And that felt very much like original Arrow DNA. Yeah. And it's not, I love a wedding and geeking out over tech and all of those other things as much as anybody else, right? But I get that those aren't Arrow DNA necessarily. Those are little side bits we get sometimes. So that moment in the Arrow cave was it, but it was one time, And I found myself tearing up when he said goodbye to his parents as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Flash, Supergirl, and Legends people may not attach to that quite as much because they hadn't seen those people before. They hadn't spent seasons with Moira Queen, who I adored her. And they, wouldn't cry the same way over his hug with his father because they may not get the history of that. And then, with the wedding, like if you saw season one and that was like... you were into the romance back then or something, I guess that could be like appealing as well. But if you weren't, or if you're new, then that's like, well, we're not going to see those people again. So it didn't feel like Arrow was pitched to the new viewer. And you're right about that.
I think you're right. And it's funny that you mentioned looking at it from a marketing standpoint. I think that is actually where a lot of things caused some problems this week that the marketing team did a lot of, bait and switch with Supergirl. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah.
They did some problems. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of expectations that no one was planning on meeting in the first place, And I think I hadn't even remotely paid attention to the marketing and I just watched the shows, I would have been like, oh, okay, cool. But I was told that we were going to get this and then we didn't, or we got something different or whatever. And I was just like, what? So I guess that goes to show, hey guys, get your marketing right. Cause your shows were fine. But going to, like you said, we want people to watch Arrow, but if you've never watched Arrow, you're gonna be like, what the heck is going on here? I don't and it was really
which scene to attach to. I wouldn't know.
It was more of a tribute to seasons one and two than it was really anything else. So if you're coming in on season five, you're going, well, or I might have seen something in four, but you've never watched one or two, you've no idea what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I say this with love, but seasons one and two lost the largest percentage of viewers. So
they lost
lost the largest percentage. Like the drop of viewership from season one to season two was the largest drop between seasons.
Really?
Not yet accounting for season five, because we don't know that yet. Yeah, in terms of proportion. So with any show, you lose viewers as you go along. That's normal. The rating, it's not that the show gets worse. It's just, people drop off and that's normal.
And you're finding your niche. You're finding your right people. Right. Yeah.
But when you're looking at the proportion of viewers, that's a little more informative, because you're not looking at how many you lose, because you obviously lose the most at the beginning, but you look at the proportion of change from season to season. It was larger at the beginning when they were still sort of finding their footing. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of found it. And then, we had our issues with season four. They might have lost it a little bit then. And then, hopefully they're finding it again.
Yeah.
But seasons one and two, I think we kind of look at them with rose-colored glasses. I know I do. I'm sure we all do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Kind of remember the best parts just because there's distance and that's all we do remember. But they did have their struggles in those seasons. They recast their lead female. They changed a character like Diggle, who was originally just a side character, and he became, basically second lead male because that's who we loved. And some of the other ones who we thought would stick around forever just didn't. And they kind of had to figure that out. And we came out the other end with like some really good memories of the ones who stuck around with us. But Yeah, I do think that this episode did kind of look at seasons one and two with rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. and that could bite them a little bit from the marketing standpoint, because newbies might not find one and two quite as rosy. I don't know.
Well, and it was interesting too, because I think, you know, that's what I was saying at the very beginning, where I, and one of the things I wrote here was like, dang it, you showrunners suck, as I'm saying, tossing Kleenexes in the air and crying, you know, not really though. But I was saying that in the sense of that, you know, I, at the time, you know, when they killed Tommy off, I was like, oh man, that's a bold move. Good idea.
Right.
And then when they killed Moira off, oh man, bold move. That's a great idea. And then when Roy, well, then when Roy left, I was like, ooh, not so cool. I wish he would come back. And then when they killed Laurel off, I'm like, no, this sucks, you know. But what was interesting about this episode is that at the time of watching those seasons, you know, you do go, bold move, great idea, very interesting, where's the story going to go? And then you see an episode like this where you see all of those people, Tommy, Roy, Laurel, you know, Thea as Speedy again, Moira, all of them coming back, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I miss these people so much. Like, they had so much charm. And they made the show what they, well, they weren't the only ones, but they were part of what made the show so amazing. And I think it did give me a very interesting contrast, which I think actually will hurt the show. I don't know, maybe at least in my perspective anyway.
That, because that's not what you would want people to go into the 100th episode feeling, right? You wouldn't want people to go into it and be like, oh, I miss all these characters. And that's all this episode is about. It didn't feel quite as celebratory, yeah. as if there was a like nod to them and nod to their audience. Because trust me, like, I'm heartbroken over Moira still to this day. Yeah. Like, I'm with you. And I think there's still people wanting Tommy to come back. You know, like, I get it.
But, you know, but, I look at it like,
but some of them we can't get back, right? Like, oh, some of them are on it, and that's normal. And so we would want to honor them and have those moments, but having so much of the episode dedicated to them does leave people feeling exactly like what you said. Like, what you're feeling is exactly what the episode created. Like, nostalgia for these characters that we loved, rather than maybe spending as much time celebrating the core characters who are there, who are great as well. You know, like, the ones we still have are pretty good.
But I think it was a good thing with, like, what they did. I thought was good. I loved it. I felt the nostalgia, you know, it made me celebrate what was Arrow. But I think, and again, I don't even know if they realized they did this, but at least in my perspective and some of the stuff I read is that characters like Moira, Tommy, Roy, they all had charm. We loved them. We loved Laurel, you know, well, not everybody did, but you know, a lot of us loved Laurel and even Sarah and all that. And I think, you know, especially when you see them in the exact same episode, you see the charm of the characters we used to love, right? You know, and then boom, next scene, you see the newbies and we're not in love with them. It makes the newbies that much worse, like less charming and more like, I don't care about these people because I loved these guys. And I don't know if they realize that might actually be an effect, but that was hard for me.
Point.
Yeah. The glue that could have fixed that would have been just more focus on the ones we still have who are not newbies, preferably.
Yeah.
So Diggle, Felicity, Thea.
Yeah,
Thea had her moment, but Thea's moment was mostly that sort of like heart-wrenching moment in the cave where she didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much like charm as you're saying. And, you know, tearjerker scenes are not the same as charming scenes. And I think that's something this show needs to realize. There's a place for both, obviously, but we want celebratory and charming scenes where there's like fun banter and playfulness as well mixed into the like badassery and emotion and ass kicking. And I think that was sort of missing for the characters that we still have.
Yeah.
And if we had had that for characters we still have, I think the overall tone would have just been, you know, you have your tears, but you also have your celebration.
Yeah.
Rather than just tears.
Yeah. Although in some ways, actually, that's a really good point. So like Thea, you know, she should have been heartbroken over her parents, but also Roy. But they couldn't bring Roy in, you know. That would have been a neat scene, though, if he would have come back and would have been like, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose you again. You know, that kind of thing, too. But
yeah.
Well, what was that? Was that just a kind of a computerized image of him and Tommy that they used?
Those are from like other scenes from past shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still neat what they did. Like that whole little ghost thing, you know, at the end where everybody's talking to Oliver. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then it was over. I'm like, no, that was so cool. But still, You do lose. It is interesting. Tommy was there for one season and we're here in five seasons now. And why does everybody like want him back? You know what I mean? Like he's only.
I thought it was a pretty believable friendship between him and Oliver.
Oh, it was.
It sold well.
Well, that shows the power of, even though he was only there for one season, how much he left an impact on all of us.
Yeah, I feel like I see more about like wanting him back now than like I see about some people who've like died in recent seasons. Like yeah. Tommy had a really lasting effect. One thing yeah. we didn't see were actual flashbacks. How did you feel about that?
I was fine with it. For this room.
Kevin?
There was just no room. There was no way.
Yeah.
You know, I think going in again, because I had seen all the marketing stuff, I'm like, they can't even go there. Not in 2 minutes.
Where would it fit in either? There's nothing in the Russian Bratva scenes that could connect. It wouldn't be able to connect to what's going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know how I feel about the flashbacks. They're not generally my favorite. They're kind of pulling me back in this season, but usually, like in previous seasons, haven't been a fan. I think I was just more curious about them than anything else. I was curious how they would work them in, if they would work them in, if it was going to tie in with like one of his main tattoos or something would happen or something like that. I don't know, but they just didn't try to tie them in. And I think for the sake of this episode, since it was also a crossover, there just would not have been time. So I think that was smart as well. I was curious what you thought though.
Yeah.
Well, it was essentially a flashback of sorts anyway. We were seeing a lot of old characters. So it kind of was a flashback in a sense, more of a trip down memory lane, I guess.
Yeah. Enough of the episode felt like a flashback already. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's something funny though. Tell me if I'm the only one here. Did you guys think it was kind of funny or silly looking to see Deathstroke in the broad daylight and how bright his orange mask was and everything?
Well, and the fact that you could tell it was not Manu underneath because he fought completely differently than Manu did. Yeah. I was like, this guy looks like it looked like a Halloween costume.
It was just,
it did actually.
Yeah.
And Deathstroke's not complete with hello, all our Mr. Queen or whatever his voice was, you know, I can't do it, but yeah, that's a good point, though. He was bright orange.
Well, we've never seen him in the daytime. He's always a nighttime character.
That's true.
Or in the middle of the jungle or whatever. So it was just weird to see him under the bright sun.
Yeah.
Standing out in the middle of like a look like a very nice park where moms and strollers would be walking by.
Yeah.
Well, Manu, if he would have pulled his mask off, oh my gosh, that would have been like a chill moment. But, you know,
yes.
Steven and Manu are not on good terms, so it doesn't work.
Did you see the post on Manu's Facebook page that he put up last night? Was it his Instagram? He put up a photo where he's flipping the bird and he's saying happy 100th episode Arrow or whatever. And he's got a big smile on his face. So most people are taking it as a joke. They're like, oh, great sense of humor.
It's not.
But
there was a falling out that happened a while back. And unfortunately, I don't think it's been resolved, but.
So whose side are we all on here? Because
you know what I'm on the side of? I'm on the side of resolution. Yeah. And that didn't happen. So until you guys resolve, it's what it is. But I appreciated that they brought at least a Deathstroke, you know, wannabe. That was cool.
That's true.
I was excited about it.
Did you guys have a favorite hero villain team up? So we had all of our heroes out there on the lawn. And then we had all of our villains, demons, nightmares, all of those. And then it was kind of like a one-on-one for quite a while there in the fight, wasn't it? Did you have a favorite bit there in that huge fight on the Queen Lawn?
My favorite encounter, actually, well, I loved the concept of what that was. You know, all of them have to face their big bads before they could, you know, break from the hallucination. I mean, I almost want to say silly, but it wasn't silly. It was your, you know, nice comic book fun. I mean, this is how you're going to do it. For me, my favorite physical fight or encounter, though, was when Sarah saved Diggle and Oliver from Deathstroke.
Mm.
Earlier in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice, you know, surprise. That was cool. She did it so well, and she's like, wow, I think, you know, I'm a ninja or whatever. I mean,
that was
pretty cool. We all know. Okay, I know all of you out there going, of course, Kev, you're a big Sarah fan.
I was going to say over that, it, but I know
get
why.
Over it, get over it, get
no,
over it.
I know, but you're right. You are bringing legitimate and logical reasoning behind it.
Yeah. It made sense as well for that point in the story. We had had Oliver going through quite a long, like a third of the episode to come to this realization of where he was. And then Diggle's kind of going through a while to come to his realization. It would have dragged a bit if we had had to wait for Sarah and the others to come to that realization. So it was kind of a nice relief to have that pace sort of quickened. And she was just there and she was like, okay, you know, I fought this person. We figured it out. We're good. We're here. You know, like it was a more action packed realization rather than like stares slowly at somebody else.
Okay. So yeah, I'm totally spacing.
Flicker. Yeah.
Thea fought Malcolm. Oliver fought Deathstroke. And then right. Sarah fought, was it Damien?
Damien Dark.
Yeah.
I have it playing right now. She fights Damien Dark.
Who did Diggle and Adam fight? I totally spaced it.
Adam is fighting right now just a thug, and Diggle's just fighting thugs.
No wonder I didn't remember.
Yeah, okay. Just Deathstroke thugs.
Your memory serves you well.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I'm thinking like, well, no wonder they were. Yeah, so I was missing Ra's al Ghul. They should have brought him in.
I don't know that they would have been able to get him. He was like a big name.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I know, and I understand they couldn't get nice, people, though. But that would have been cool. Yeah. But, and who else? Who was the other? I guess that was it for the big bads. It was Malcolm and...
That was it, yeah.
Deathstroke and then Ra's.
There's some that were like kind of recurring quite a bit, like Count Vertigo returned like three or four times. You know, so there's some they probably could have pulled in that were around maybe about as much as Damien.
Yeah.
You know what the coolest part of it? I have it playing right now on silent in the background. Mm. I think the coolest fight sequence was between Damien Dark and Sarah, because you can tell that's Katie Lotz. She does not have a double in this. She trains. Yeah. For these scenes, and that's the fight between the two of them looked way better than any of the other ones that were going on.
And Neil McDonough,
because like neither of them wear masks. That was
not me bringing that up.
That was all Martin, yes. But no, you're Martin. Right. They were both trained, and they both they did their stunts. Whereas you could tell that's not Thea.
Yep.
And although the Thea Malcolm fight was cool for her stunt double,
right?
I thought that was still pretty sweet.
Yeah, but it was great to see Malcolm. I mean, we haven't seen him this season.
I miss Malcolm, and I'm like, am I actually admitting that?
and again, hey, for any of the dinging we're giving to the showrunners for things that we may not agree with that they've done, it was a very bold move to bring back all of these people like we were discussing earlier, because you know it gets everybody going of the, I miss them. I miss them. So to do that in a show that's still running, it's not the episode, the final episode of the show. Right. That's a very gutsy move. Okay.
Yeah.
It's definitely like we brought up in the conversation. When you look at any of them compared to Team 2.0, the gap looks even bigger now.
Yeah.
So to be willing to risk that, you know, for the sake of the fans getting to have some fun, you got to give them credit. I have to.
Oh, no, I loved it.
Right. And you kind of have to... They had to work with what they have as well. Yeah. You know, like they brought back who they could bring back and those they couldn't. They worked with, you know, they had little voice clips or, you know, somebody wearing a Deathstroke suit or things that. Yeah. And they really did their best to bring back everybody that was important to them or who was available to come back. And so that was pretty cool. And you're right, Kevin, that sort of discrepancy between how we feel about somebody who's been around for four seasons versus somebody who's been around for like eight episodes. Yeah. So that's understandable.
Sure.
We're hard on the newbies here, but it's nicely hard on the
speaking of newbies, where was Evelyn?
With Prometheus, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about any previews, but, you know, it just, I don't know. I felt a little odd that we didn't even see her standing in the background.
I have a theory that I don't think I should bring up.
Yeah, hold that thought for next week.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but never mind.
That to me is one thing that I kind of went, huh, that's weird, you know? I just thought it was weird after we've been building the cohesion between all of them not to even have her physically there. Yeah. I kind of get it, but I'm just saying it seemed a little off to me.
I'm just going to give a weird teaser. They filmed episode 9 first. That's all I'm going to say. Keep going.
Really? Yeah. Good boy. Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah. And that's what part of this is too.
Yep.
We all love the show. we love comic book shows or these kind of things. So we realize the reality of TV and actors and contracts and better opportunities. So it happens a lot of other shows. You don't realize it when they get a few seasons in because they don't bring all these people back mid-run. Right. So that's why I say they were willing to expose some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the reality of what happens with contracts. And also, and you brought it up very well, Cammy, in terms of rose-colored glasses for thinking totally. Season one was awesome. Yeah. Not so much for those of you who've gone back and watched it. I mean, not that but that's when we all fell in love with it. So yes, it is colored glasses.
It's good that we have that nostalgia, but you know, also like if you go back and rewatch, you'll see we might have been critical back then as well.
Oh, totally. Totally.
No, but we ripped on Laurel when she was going through her whole drinking problem. We were kind of ripping on her.
You ripped on her.
Someone.
Yeah.
I held hope.
Well, so bad the actress having to deliver those lines every single week.
I know. I wanted to say something to you, what you said, Kevin, though, a minute ago, because I really liked that we do need to give the showrunners credit for taking this move this week, because it goes back to what both you said, Kevin and Cammy, about they did the best with what they had. And I agree. And I honestly, to me, I think where it was hard is I did love this episode a lot. In fact, to me, this was my favorite Arrow episode all season and probably one of my favorite Arrow episodes the last couple of seasons, because of the way they did it and the fact that they did some bold moves and they did the best with what they had. I think where it was challenging for me, and maybe this is, I don't know, maybe I'm not the only one on this one, but like the best analogy I can come up with is that I'm sitting in a hot spring and I'm warm and I'm comfortable and I'm having a great time and I get out and it's zero outside and it's snowing. And all I have on is a bathing suit and I'm freezing now. It's like a shock to the system. And that's how this episode felt. I loved it. It was this warm, fuzzy feeling. And then it was a shock to the system that, you know what, that's just not the way it's ever going to be again, which in one way I'm emotionally traumatized. I mean, I'm being very like a lot of exaggeration here, but you know what I mean? Like I'm emotionally traumatized, but the reality is at the same time, I'm intrigued that it's like it is not the way it's going to be. Get over it. Seasons one and two, like you said, they're rose colored. They're never going to happen again. We're moving forward now. And I like that. Even though it's hard to take right now, I like that.
Yeah. See,
I felt for me, what really worked is as emotional as you could get over Oliver's, you know, goodbye to his father and mother again. And I love seeing the two of them together because those actors just, you know, a lot of the stuff we saw was kind of them separate with Oliver. So that was good. But even the computer generated or whatever ghost scene as Oliver saw all of them, that was the most emotional I felt about Arrow in a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I knew they succeeded. So I can tell now within, you know, 24 hours of having first seen it, rose-colored wise, I'm going to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Anything else going forward. So in that sense, I got to give them credit. And as you said, Brian, we just have to tip our hat and say, Roy, we loved you, you know, goodbye, Tommy, blah, blah, blah. We're on to team 2.0. Get over it. Life moves on. So do we.
Yep.
I can't disagree with either of you. You guys definitely drive home some very strong points. And I'm with you.
I think one of the conversations Kevin and I had when we reacted right after the episode was with that scene that Kevin just referenced where everybody's standing there and they have their clips of, you know, motivational speeches that they've given Oliver throughout the years. The second one they had up there was you honor the dead by fighting and you're not done fighting. That was the one that came from Felicity. And that kind of set the tone for all the rest of the speeches as well. They all, for the most part, had to do with motivational bits that were given to Oliver after somebody died. And a lot of this episode did have to do with people sort of like dying for a second time right in front of our eyes, right? Like we're losing them again, sort of. And he still had to have that motivation to keep going even without them. And I thought that that was a nice bit to have in there and a nice line to put in there. That was, you know, there's a lot of motivational speeches they could pick from, but to have that theme running throughout made sense after showing us all of these people brought back to life.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. It was very, very intentional. I like when there seems to be like intentionally reassuring things because it like gives me confidence in their writing. And then with the whole like you feel like you're coming out of a warm thing into something cold, I think what was maybe just could have been offered that was missing was some sort of like warm blanket of reassurance of a team exactly. that was just going with your metaphor.
Yeah, no, I love it.
That was still there. If there had been, you know, because the newbies are that, you know, like we're going to try to be nice to them, but they're not a warm blanket of reassurance.
Exactly.
But OTA, that trio, that's a warm blanket. Or the Queen yeah. siblings, yeah. they're like mini family they have. That's a warm blanket. Had something like that, you know, some sort of reunion, something warm with the like Team Arrow family that we do still have and love, had that been there rather than like we have to go into the Legends component so everybody is still separated. That would have made for a better ending, I feel like.
Well, I think, Cammy, what you're just saying, to go from the memories of all the people we loved being the warm blanket that got ripped off of us again for the second time, if they had brought in the newbies at the very end to sort of save the day or help out or something, it would have been like a new blanket coming on and saying, okay, this one's, it's cold at first, but stay underneath it for a little while. It might warm up.
I'm yeah. loving this metaphor.
We're going to keep this
the whole season.
and if Thea actually does say, I'm coming out of retirement, I'm coming back as Speedy.
Yes.
And I'm going to be also, you know, Mayor Pro Tem or whatever, because after what we just went through, I know that my calling is to be out there with you, brother and sister. Aww. Like, oh man, that, and then to say, and I'm going to help your new team and we're going to do this, you know? Oh, mm-hmm.
oh, that's it. I'm hiring you to write.
I'm there. But no, and you're right. It would have been amazing if the 2.0 would have saved them, and they didn't. It was Team Nerd that did.
Yeah. The episode wasn't allowed a resolution truly because it had to go into Legends.
Yeah.
And that was maybe a little bit of a disservice because we could have had like a cool resolution, like spoilers, the Legends episode had like a little bit of a warm, fuzzy resolution.
Yeah.
If Arrow had gotten that warm, fuzzy resolution, maybe you wouldn't have been left out in the cold.
Wait a second. Have you three all watched tonight's Legends already?
Oh, yes.
Not yet. I have not.
I
will be.
I haven't.
Yeah, I was out there live tweeting.
Oh boy, okay. So you're the only one who knows what's happened. All right.
Oh, I know what's happened, but I will not spoil you. However, we did a poll to see what the Arrow Squad audience, what their favorite part of the DC Week crossover was. Yeah. 11% said Supergirl, 17% said Flash, 50% said Arrow, and 22% said Legends.
Interesting.
So Arrow did take the majority. Granted, that was the Arrow Squad audience.
Totally biased. Yeah.
Yeah. But from that totally representative sample, it was Arrow, Legends, Flash, and Supergirl in that order from best to least.
I have to say this. So having not seen Legends, but having seen the other three, I think the best crossover episode was Flash.
By far.
But I loved what Arrow did because of the 100th episode. But I think they did a better job crossing over with Flash than they did with Arrow.
Totally with you on that. And I think after my initial feelings, which I already talked about, I think now that we're discussing it farther, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go watch Arrow again with my heart set on this is the 100th episode. And I'm going to dive more into that side of it than expecting the crossover. And then I'll lead into the Legends finale of this event.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm feeling like I missed out on the emotion and I want to get into that because of everything we're talking about.
I got to say this though. I loved how they did the transition crossover. So, you know, we can't even count Supergirl. I'm sorry. But you know how they transitioned to being abducted, which transitioned nicely into, you know, the dream sequence in Arrow, and then how they transitioned to getting picked up on the Wave Rider. I got to say that space scene was awesome. I mean, I love sci-fi shows and movies like that. And they did such a good job in space with the ships and the zooming in and out. I mean, it was very Battlestar Galactica-ish. It was just so good. And then they transitioned to being on the Wave Rider and then boom, to be continued. I'm like, okay, that was a good transition. That is the way they should do transitions.
Totally agree with you. That was fantastic. And I was going to add in, it was cool that we finally, when they did get on the Wave Rider, that it was Steel that was there to greet them because he hadn't really been part of the crossover yet. So
I know. And he's awesome.
Cool. He's awesome. Yeah. He's actually over on our show. He is the fan favorite character this season by far.
He's the most realistic character. Cause I'm like, I know people that act like that. I don't know a lot of people that act like Mick Rory, which is probably a good thing. Even though I love Mick Rory, if I knew somebody like that, I'd probably be concerned.
You know who acts like Steel?
Huh?
You and me.
Yeah, that's why I like him. I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. That's funny. Yeah, I didn't burn my family and then set fire to everybody around me.
So, no, but just the giddy excitement that he, well, him and Ray, the two of them,
true.
How
Ray's
they
get, yeah.
Yeah, they get so nerdy and excited about things. That's how I feel we are.
I wasn't as familiar with the Legends characters going into this. I wasn't as much of like deep into that fandom or like regularly watching and live tweeting, that sort of thing. So it was interesting to me to see them meet the characters that I am like very, very familiar with or appear on shows where I'm familiar with the fandom and see that reception and which characters got like a good or familiar reception and which ones people were like, who is this person? What's going on? Or like, you know, questioning everything. So that was kind of cool to see.
I agree. Okay, I have to say one thing really quickly. I know I've been very hard on Curtis this season because I didn't like the way that they've taken his character.
Right.
However, when he was in the Arrow Cave with Felicity and with Cisco, that is the Curtis I remember. And the fact that he was just jumping in and helping out and rocking that, I'm like, boom, yes.
Loved it. We got a comment agreeing with you on that. It was saying very similar things.
Yeah.
I can't remember who said that.
It was almost a shock to the system again because we hadn't seen that out of him for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so this cool. This actually brings up an interesting comment that I heard about Jimmy Olsen, for example, which is something that Wynn mentions in the actual one of the episodes of Supergirl to Jimmy. But I believe it also applies very well to Curtis. Jimmy's now out in the field. Curtis is now out in the field. And when as a character brings this up, as does someone, I don't remember where it was. I don't remember who it was, but somebody brought this up as a comment in real life too. The idea is that what is wrong with being a superhero of the mind? Why does the superhero have to be out there physically fighting? Why can't the superhero be using their mind to save lives? If that makes sense.
Which AKA Felicity?
I have a salty answer for that. Can I be salty for like 10 seconds?
Are you going to pour it on a wound?
I don't know.
Does it come with a blankie?
It's more of a question. It's not necessarily an opinion. So I just wanted to bring it up.
I agree that it would be that people who are superheroes of the mind are definitely still superheroes. So Cisco, Felicity, etc., who can do all these great things. You know, we saw them running these missions and hacking, doing all that. They're definitely heroes. And the shows also call them heroes. Mm-hmm. However, when the team of heroes is standing on stage getting honored, guess who is not on stage? Everyone who was not actually out there throwing a punch. It was all the behind the scenes people who never get honored. So
the unsung heroes.
That's my salty answer.
I understand.
What's wrong with being a mind hero is you might be better than everybody else, but you still don't get to meet the president.
I know. And that is hard.
Okay,
and I agree with you.
Cammy's not going to be salty anymore.
No. I that's a really good point. And honestly, that happens everywhere in the world today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they have the Unsung Hero Award or whatever, some kind of a new award they did recently. But it's a very high award. It's like, isn't it called like the Unsung Hero Award or something like that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope. I feel like I've heard of that, but I'm sure you know more than I do.
I don't know much, but I know it's something like, anyway, but the point is that's why they did that is because they said there are so many people in this world that never get noticed. They never get the recognition, just like you said there. And these people are true heroes.
Yeah.
So, but I like the fact that people have brought that up as an idea is like, do heroes truly have to be out in the field fighting? You know what I mean?
Especially in the modern age, you know, because we're kind of obviously they time travel, so it's not always modern, but these shows are in the modern age. And, you know, especially when you are appealing to an audience of like, you know, nerdy, geeky people, I'll identify as one as well, right?
Yeah, totally.
I think that there is a space to more consistently honor heroes who are in that realm, who aren't necessarily always out there throwing a punch, but are doing things like the, you know, techie, smart life-saving things. And I think that gets lost, not just in the like promo of being standing up there on stage and meeting the president or getting that honor, right? But also in things like, like Superhero Fight Club or, you know, different things like that, that they release as little fun promotional events. You don't, or like different like hero photo shoots that they do. You don't always see the techie people involved in that. And that can be a little disappointing, but you know,
but without Felicity and
also,
without Felicity and Cisco, that Superhero Fight Club would have never existed. And everybody just sitting around in their street clothes, sucking their thumbs.
Very true.
So
very
there you go, man. They are the core.
We'll sing their praises.
And we do. That's the thing. But you know, you're right. In the character world, they're not outside getting noticed. Yeah. They're not out with a actual, you know, cost. Or not, that's not a costume. Sorry. Outfit or whatever they call them.
Right.
Suit. There we go. But in our world, as the viewers, they're very much recognized.
Yes.
Love it. Well, gosh, any other thoughts about the episode? I personally don't have anything else, but
I have something, guys, because I knew I was coming on to guest with you. I wanted to run something by you and get each of your opinions.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because we only kind of touched on it. My favorite. Well, it has to do with the newbies, Team 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the animosity towards them. It seems like the majority of people are not happy with them.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Right? It seems like most people aren't happy with them. We're not comfortable with them. We're not feeling that warm fuzzy with them.
Yeah.
So I want to run this by you. Would it help if each of the newbie characters got an entire episode, maybe two, but at least an entire episode focused just on them, while everyone else just was there in support of a full story arc for that one character? Kind of like a bit of an origin story. They have a struggle they have to deal with. Oliver comes in to help resolve it, whatever. Because I think that's what's missing. Not one of them has had a full episode story arc. When you compare it to past seasons, the reason we fell in love with Roy so much is because he had multiple episodes that were just focused on him and what he was going through, and everyone else supported him. And that allowed us to attach to him and become so connected to him. Same with when they brought Sarah on. Same with when they... when Laurel decided she wanted to help fight the team, like, but more a character like Rory. What do you guys think of that? Do you think if the newbies each got a full episode to themselves with everyone else just supporting, would that allow us the time to connect to them a little better?
Yes.
Kevin, do you want to start this one?
Brian was pretty succinct. I think he covered it pretty good.
No, Brian, go ahead. I feel like I jumped on top of somebody and I'm not sure who.
Oh, no,
it's okay. I was passing the baton.
Go regardless. Ahead, Kevin, if you'd like to start. I have a comment, but go right ahead, please.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the nature, and we've touched on it a little bit, I think, in some of our discussions. Obviously, when you've got characters you're invested in 5 years in, one or two episodes to give me a backstory isn't going to be enough.
Yeah.
Would it be helpful? Absolutely. But is it going to be enough? No. So, you know, it's kind of like I'm doing the podcaster fan overanalyzing, going, if I'm a showrunner and I got to bring in 3 or 4 new characters in season 5, screw it. There's no point in giving a backstory. It won't work anyway. Let's just throw them all together. So the short answer, Martin, is it would help, but it is going to affect my true feeling for them? I don't think so.
Hmm. Okay.
Interesting. Go ahead, Cammie.
Brian?
No, I insist. Go ahead.
No, you go first. Just to make sure I'm not about to say the same thing as you, and I feel like it's similar to something you've said before, so I'm going to let you say it first.
Okay, well, I have no idea what you're going to say, but we could do rock, paper, scissors. over audio, it'll be awesome. Might take us a while to figure out what... No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I was told something interesting I've told this in podcasting, you know, since we're podcast hosts, we all understand this, but... you know, you're told that be yourself, share a little bit about you. People need to connect with the hosts. You know, there's that kind of advice out there. It was so funny. I've been in a, you know, it's kind of a weekly gaming group. You know, we get online, we hang out. I've been doing that for a couple of years, but one of the guys said, I've learned more about you in the last couple of episodes of The Real Brian Show than I have in the last 2 years of gaming with you. And I thought, okay, I'm doing my job, right? I'm being myself, I'm talking, it's the backstory that you're asking about, Martin. But what that reminded me of is, yes, if I did get backstory about these newbies, it would help me to relate to them because, and I was thinking of like Ray, we know about Anna. he's got some backstory. You know, we've got some things about Ray that we understand that helps to shape him as a character. Same with Roy. Same with, gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the other backstories. Well, with even Deadshot, you know, stuff like that. We got those backstories, which helped us to relate to the character and actually care about the character. However, and this is a key point, I think, they were still supporting characters. They were not focused characters. They were not there all the time. Certainly not every episode. So I think what would help is, yes, let's have backstory, singular episode backstories about each of these people, and then kind of weave it in periodically. But what I would like to start seeing is them not standing behind Felicity every single episode, staring at what she's doing. It's unnecessary. They don't need to be there every episode. They need to be coming in when they need to come in, get that backstory, develop that character, but don't put so much focus on them. That's my thought. Chameleon.
So I agree with everybody, but I also feel like if that were done, it would be done with the best intentions and it would make things so much worse. Because if they were to dedicate multiple episodes to each of their backstories, because what would happen is people would start to resent them for taking the screen time of the ones that we care about. And we have, as Brian said, and as I was about to point out, but you took the words out of my mouth because they were from your mouth in the first place. We have a lot of team members at this point, and it's really hard to find screen time for all of them. And I know you talked about this in a previous podcast as well, with the whole, like, how many leads can you have in a given show, right? So I won't go over that again. But with these newbies, if they were to take that much screen time from the ones that we actually care about already, we might start to grow to resent them. And it's also a risk because you've got multiple ones and we're not sure which ones will actually stick. And I think that's the corner that they've kind of built themselves into there. And I know, Brian and Kevin, you've talked about this before as well. We feel at this point that we're sort of stuck with the newbies, whether or not they work.
Yeah.
This isn't like a situation like Survivor where we, you know, we've got all of these ones and we'll see which ones actually stay, right?
Vote them off out the cave.
We vote them off, yeah.
Right. We don't really feel like we can vote them off. We feel like we're stuck with them for the full season. And it's like a lot of them. And that's quite a commitment for them to make that decision for us, you know?
So yeah,
that if they were to do that, that might be kind of hard. I think what is really missing is a lot more of the core of the show for the newbies to enter. Because when we, you know, it's great to see the one-on-one, you know, we got to see Rory talk with Felicity for a while. We got to see Wild Dog talk with Diggle for a while. You know, we've got these sort of one-on-one Artemis, you know, kind of butt heads with Oliver, and that's cool, but that's them one-on-one with our main people. If we have our main three together and then see when we have our main three together, where does the rest of the team fit into that? Where does that chemistry fall? And give them practice existing within that chemistry. That, I think, would be more reassuring for the viewer because we would still see that familiarity that where there's these relationships we've already attached to and they're still existing on screen. And then we might be more tolerant to these newbies who are coming in and functioning within this environment that we already like. But when you take out the environment we already like, even if they're given one-on-one with characters that we already know, and that's cool and that's great, there's still this level of unknown because we don't know how they're going to function within the family chemistry that we're not really seeing. We see like 30 seconds of our like original team talking to each other. And the rest of the episode is like all these pairings off.
Yeah. So if this were a perfect world and Flashpoint had never happened, let's just call it that because, you know, Flashpoint, we blame for everything.
We do.
if Flashpoint had never happened, then a perfect world would have been they brought in one at a time, developed the character, and then we would have been okay because screen time wouldn't have been too much and it would have made sense.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing? I mean, not that's what you were saying per se, but would that bring in
one for like one or two episodes, you know, give them a little bit of an arc, see how people respond to them. Is it one where like people, it really sticks? Is it not? If it's somebody that's really sticking, we can like bring them on later in the season, maybe for a longer arc, maybe have them, you know, after the midseason be on as, you know, regular almost every episode. Bring one on for a couple episodes and they're not really sticking, you know, maybe bring them on again, see if it helps. If not, you know, too bad. And that's kind of what mm-hmm. happened, you know, with like Diggle and Felicity. Totally. Like they came on for a couple episodes and they kind of stuck, and they started to come on a whole lot more, and they, you know, it built in a little bit more naturally. And then there were some that like came on for a couple episodes and it was like, yeah, it's just a couple episode thing. Like that's all right. And that's okay. It doesn't put people in a position where they're forced to be something that they're not yet. And I feel like there's a lot of pressure, and we feel bad sometimes kind of being hard on these newbies, right? But there is so much pressure on them to like be regulars when they haven't earned regulars yet. I don't know. It's hard.
Well, see, now that I've heard all three of you, and basically all three of you had your own feelings and your own perspective that you were coming from. And yet to me, all three of you described exactly Roy's story arc.
The way that it should, or the way that it was?
And the way that it happened with Roy is how all three of you just described it from three different perspectives. And that's what these newbies have not got, is the same treatment. You all had very valid points about what's missing from these newbies' stories, whether there's too many of them on screen at once, or they're not enough of our original three, and they're having to have some FaceTime one-on-one. Like all these points you brought up is exactly what they did with Roy. And that's why Roy worked so well and why we all fell in love with him and his character. And it was so sad to see him go, because they did it almost perfect with his entire story arc and his connections to all the characters on the show. So
that's a really good point. And that's very true. That goes back to what you said, Cammy, that too many at once.
Yeah.
And then too many to try to spread the stories around, and it just doesn't work. So it is one of those things where it goes back to what you said, Kevin, that actually I don't think it can work at this point, because it's just going to, I don't think it's going to matter.
It won't be awful. It won't be terrible. It won't be like, we don't want to watch a show. Like we're still going to watch it, but it's just kind of be this thing where we're like, this could be better.
But there's nothing that you can do to fix it other than kill off a couple characters or have them depart and then focus on who's left. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It might do that.
Yeah. Going into the mid season, you know, if they did a thing where like one of them gets killed off, a couple of them go off to do a separate mission, one of them quits the team, whatever, you know, and then bring them back a little bit at a time, you know, like, do we like this person returning? Do we get a good reception from this person returning? Does it fit the story? Does it fit the chemistry? And, you know, kind of do it on a little bit more of an organic basis might be better. But contractually, I think we're kind of stuck with them.
So now I know that there's something that Cammy, we talked about behind the scenes. So I won't bring that up just because you gave me a little insight, but there's another thing, and I have absolutely no intelligence on this whatsoever. And I'm talking about like, you know, CIA sort of intelligence, not like brain intelligence. I got a bad feeling about Curtis, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I haven't watched any previews. I have no idea, but I just got a bad feeling that something's going to happen to something to him personally.
Yeah, I suspect tragedy is in his future. Not that he will die, but I think his husband might be donezo.
Something's going to happen.
But we haven't even seen anything of his husband yet.
Exactly. I know. He hasn't shown up at all this season, but I have a feeling something's going to happen.
His husband is a therapist named Paul. Am I right? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in season 3, or I'm sorry, 4 quite a bit, but
I think he's going to be killed off, and I think that honestly, I mean, I'm not necessarily rooting for that, but from a storyline perspective, if they're going to try to do any romance with this new team, that would make sense.
Artemis is going to kill Curtis's husband.
Possibly.
And then they're going to have to kill Artemis or something. Like, totally crackpot theory. I'm just throwing this out.
I don't really know what they're going to do. It's just, it's been speculated a lot. It's not something I'm rooting for, but it's something I'm expecting, if that makes sense. I'd be happy to be wrong, but also we never see him, so.
Yeah. Well, so, and will that turn him into a true Mr. Terrific? Will he become crazy? Will he go angry, become the killer? Or will he become a true Mr. Terrific? You know, who knows?
Maybe I've been pretty pleased with Echo overall. You know, we've had our ups and downs with Curtis's writing, but Echo, I'm pretty confident will do a good job with
Echo what storyline
he's given. Yeah,
yeah, he's amazing. Nothing wrong with Echo. I'm just sad that they didn't do it the way that they should have. But no, he rocks.
They still have time. He's new into the, you know, they've gone like several seasons into a wrong direction with characters before. So with him, I'm like, this is just a couple episodes where I haven't liked, you know, I'll have some patience.
Sure. And Echo is just a cool guy. And wow. You know, what's really funny is at Heroes and Villains in August, he had the cornrows, but then he had this giant, like, I don't know how to explain it. It looked like a mohawk, but it was also like an Afro mohawk, if that makes sense. And you know how he's got his cornrows when he's as Mr. Terrific? That's his real hair. And if he lets that top part, it poofs straight up. And then you know how he's got the big poofy hair when he's just kind of nerding out? I'm pretty sure that's a wig now. Because his hair is all different. But it was like, anyway, that's just a side note. I like Echo. He's a cool guy.
He is cool. He did the takeover for the DC Instagram yesterday during the Arrow episode. And he did a great job with lots of cool behind the scenes pictures. He's
nice.
He's a good fit for the cast. As long as they get his writing on point, he'll, I think, fit real well with the team. I'm not so sure with all the other team members, which ones will fit and which ones won't fit. Of course, we'll root for all of them, but we're also going to like give our real world take on it. So
yeah,
it'll be okay.
I love it. Well, let's jump into some transmissions. How about?
Yeah.
Sound good?
It does.
Sounds good.
All right. Mr. Podcast, the Overlord.
Yes, we've got a couple of items for the previous episode, Vigilante. So first one we want to play for you here, voicemail from Cyberman.
Oh, hi, guys. This is Cyberman, or Lee. I can't seem to keep my superhero name. But this is for Arrow Squad. I just listened to the podcast. I'm a little behind. Anyway, this is about the episode Vigilante. I like the episode. I have to agree. I don't care very much for the team, other than I really do like Curtis still, as far as the sidekicks. But about Oliver. Okay. Oliver and Suzanne are in the bar. When she takes his hand, there's a beat where he looks at her, and it's not friendly. It's dangerous, Oliver. And then he goes right back. You know, then another beat. I mean, literally a beat. Beat, dirty look, beat, back. He's friendly, sweet, what she expects of him. She completely underestimates him, and I think he is playing her big time. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Cyberman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And now that we're, you know, past the 100th and the crossover come the mid-season finale next week, we're going to kind of shock ourselves back into that storyline. So that was an excellent observation, Lee.
It's funny that was the first feedback, because that was another point I wanted to bring up with you guys, because I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but Kevin, you just said it right now. We're going to get brought back to reality, back to our regular Arrow timeline and storyline. And you were talking about this with the reporter, and I just wanted to throw in a couple points to kind of counter what you guys were saying the last time it became a big discussion.
Oh, no.
Maybe Oliver...
Go right ahead.
Because you guys were wondering, why would Oliver be involved with her? What, she's bad and all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe Oliver is just romantically lonely after Felicity and realizing that she has a new boyfriend. And it's a good thing for him to have a love interest that he can confide in that isn't on the inside and part of the team, because that has never worked for him before. So not like he's going to give away a lot, but he just has a female friend that he can talk to and kind of have a bit of romance with that's not on the inside, doesn't know anything about what's going on in Team Arrow.
You know,
that's my...
And I think it's a good point, because I heard somebody or read somebody else had mentioned a couple things that said, yeah, very similar to what you said. And I thought maybe we should clarify that, because I think people maybe might have heard us wrong, because what we were saying is, at least this is what I think we were all saying, we have no problem with Oliver necessarily having another love interest. I mean, I know everybody wants Felicity back. Well, not everybody, but some people do. no problem with Oliver having a love interest. It was more of a, but with her, like, how can you trust her after what she's done? That was more the issue. Not that the love interest is fine. It was more of a, really, you can trust her? Isn't she going to screw you over?
Yeah, it really undermines all of the character development that they've done Oliver that he's supposed to be this like really hard, intelligent person who can like read people really well. And, you know, he was a Bratva captain and all this stuff that we see in the flashbacks of him learning these, you know, techniques of like keeping his identity secret and all of this. It would really kind of undermine this whole like this guy went through 5 years of hell thing if he's like making the same mistakes that he would have made before the island. It just doesn't make us see him as like, because he doesn't have superpowers like Barry or anything like that. His superpower is that he's like this great fighter and military strategist and all of this. And if he makes such a mistake like this that like, you know, guys in real life that I know wouldn't make that mistake, it kind of lowers our respect for him. So it's not like we just hate all romance. It's like, this is not what the Oliver Queen that we know would do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with you guys. I just wanted to bring up that little point because I do agree with you wholeheartedly that he probably is playing her for info because she has a lot of contacts everywhere that maybe he doesn't have access to. But then, Brian, you brought up a fantastic point, which I want to touch on, is that you could be so right that she is part of the Russian Bratva in disguise.
Yeah.
Hence, Dolph Lundgren's character with his big lines of matter of perspective.
Yeah.
I think he was landing some huge hints to Oliver there about opening your eyes and have a better perspective on something. Meaning, she's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I've got a mole inside.
Yeah.
And you don't even know it.
Yeah. Which then brings up the point, is Prometheus Anatoly?
Could he be?
Possibly. Even though Anatoly technically is KG Beast, he could be undercovering as Prometheus.
I don't know if the build looks right, but I guess it's possible. Interesting.
I don't know either, but I'm not going to bank on that one. I'm just, you know, throwing again crackpot theories out.
Well, is Prometheus the big bad that they were talking about before the season began? They were talking about the big bad this season was going to be a slow burn, a slow reveal. We're going to build them up to where that when we finally know they're a huge danger and voila, here they are. Is Prometheus that character?
Exactly. That's the question.
Because if he is, they haven't been building a very, very good slow burn with him.
No.
Because I'm not feeling any threat, really.
Slow burn to the Arrow Riders is like a little different than like slow burn.
It's like a pilot light.
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now. Because, and we said, we talked about this last time too, about the fact that, you know, with a show, what was it like White Collar, for example, they have a really good overarching story and they haven't really done much of that with this season, at least not yet.
Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I
love the sigh.
I know it's,
am I getting too analytical for you on your own show?
No, sir. No, sir. We have fun poking fun at each other, but no, not at all. I'm holding a lot of judgment to myself until we see what happens in the mid-season finale. You know, I want to know how they're going to leave us for whatever it is, 5, 6, 7 weeks. Is it going to be like a, you know, didn't see that coming. Oh, that hurt. Or what's he going to do? Whatever, you know, then I'm fine. But if we have kind of a paint by the numbers, been here before, seen that as the mid-season finale, then yeah, I'm going to be a little, okay, you didn't really, you know, you built up and then you fizzled it out. So I'm really kind of holding the thought. I'm not sure is my honest answer there, Martin. I'm really not sure until I kind of see where they're going to leave us.
Right.
So feel free to revisit that after next week's episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm part of my judgment on a lot of what's there is contingent on how well they've played this hand that we're going to see a lot more of, I think, next week.
Yeah.
Let's
mid-season
hope.
Is kind of like a deal breaker one way or the other on quite a few of the storylines that they've played with so far.
See, that's and it's with a lot of it. It's not in a negative way other than it'd be unfair for me to say I think it's we're good or bad with Prometheus as the big bad until we see what happens in mid-season film.
Right.
So after next week, we're either gung-ho, we're going to have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, or we're going to start podcasting about Desperate Housewives or something. And we're getting coal in our stockings because we're going to be angry. Is that kind of what I'm hearing? Make or break?
We'll be filling out applications to join Martin on tomorrow's.
Because apparently I've only had one guest host so far.
Yeah.
I know.
Today too.
We suck. I'm so sorry, Martin. I mean, I've been a bad friend.
The worst.
I'm the villain already, so I don't apologize for anything.
Yeah, she was quite flat out. Nope, I can't do it. I haven't watched the show enough.
You're like, I don't want to.
I really like Supergirl and Flash and Arrow. I know inside and out. Legends, I truly don't know inside and out at all. So I would just be on there to mess with you guys, to be honest.
That would be hilarious, actually. Now, who's the guy that puts on the suit?
who's the team leader? Is the team leader a girl? Is it?
Who's the dude that shoots fire? Which one? There's two of them? That would be awesome.
I'll just ask all the worst questions. It'll be great.
Or you could just...
They'll never have me back on.
You could just speak in Hebrew like the aliens. Oh, okay. Hold on. Can we talk? Wait, is that really what's going on? Is that it's like a version of the Hebrew dialect? Is that actually what I heard?
The code... I don't want to touch that one, honestly.
I was like, what?
They really only like explain that to the most minimal degree on Arrow, and it was a code in it. Is that
a nod to the fifth element?
Kevin said that we were supposed to turn our brains off.
Yeah, see, there you go.
But is that a nod to the fifth element? You know, where you're like, I don't understand what she's saying. You know, it's some gibberish. It's not gibberish. It's the ancient language, but it's like based on some Egyptian dialect or something. You know, or you know, what I'm saying? Isn't that what they did in Fifth Element?
If you'll allow Salty Cammy to return for a second,
yes,
I would not put it past them to make yet another reference to a show that is not Arrow on Arrow's 100th episode. Yeah, because they have three other shows on there right now. Why not give screen time to another show other than Arrow?
Well, how many nods have they done?
Salty Cammy will leave the building.
No, it's okay, but they did. They did a ton of nods to a lot of different shows.
They gave
and Company.
Nod to the tones, the character, a lot of nods to a lot of things that are not like Arrow present day.
Yeah.
That's okay. Totally. I'm not bitter. Well,
all the shows are doing that. I mean, we had Dawson's Creek on Flash.
Oh.
And we have so many Back to the Future references on Legends, and it's crazy. Yeah, they're totally doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, to be fair, Greg Berlanti, I know, is part of Dawson's Creek. I didn't watch it. It's not my thing. But
that was before I was born. Okay. I actually don't know when that was, but it was before my time.
It was the 90s.
Okay.
But yeah.
I was born in the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, I was, anyway, I didn't watch it. I had a friend who did. It's just not my genre. But regardless, like even though I heard it was a good show for those who liked it, but I just want to be clear. Arrow is and Flash are not Dawson's Creek. Please don't combine the two. They are not the same genre. That's all I have to say. Okay. Speaking of bitterness, I want to say that I am bitter at Aaron for not revealing his or her gender. I'm going to let you keep guessing on my gender. Something to do for the hiatus. I'm bitter. I'm angry. No, I'm really not actually. I appreciate it. This is actually kind of funny because it's all speculation. And thank you, Aaron, for writing in. Always appreciate hearing from you. Mentions, keep this gender neutral here since I don't know what Aaron is. Maybe Aaron's not even human. What if Aaron's an alien? What are the Dominators? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And it's like,
that was awesome.
Aaron could speak the ancient Hebrew never mind. Thank you, Aaron. Translated into English here. Great comments about the newbies. Aaron feels very similar to us in the conversation we just had, actually. So I won't go into everything that Aaron said here, but finds Artemis intriguing because she's still so mysterious, which I think we'll get the reveal that we're all looking for with Artemis next week. That's my theory here. Same thing with Curtis. Doesn't feel organic. More of a turnoff, unfortunately. Want to skip Wild Dog stuff because, you know, just angry all the time, blah, blah, blah. I agreed. 100% agreed. Aaron feels Ragman is the most balanced so far, but goes back to exactly what we were just talking about. Too many people right now to get into. Now, good points here. Like Curtis, why isn't Curtis going to John for training tips? That's a very good point. And why isn't Oliver training Eve better, considering that she's using a bow and he's the best marksman? Good point.
Why haven't we seen any training at all?
Exactly.
Oliver and Eve? Because where did the transition to Artemis come?
And where did Artemis even pick up a bow in the first? Why? I mean, yeah.
I think they vaguely referenced that in previous seasons, in season 4. I think they also forgot that existed.
Exactly. Oliver John friendship is good, but we haven't seen any John Felicity scenes. Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
I very much miss those.
I do too. So anyway, a lot of great points. Always, as always, Aaron, we love hearing from you. So thank you.
Yes. Our next comment was from Christy, and she says, in regards to this week's episode, that she was pleased that they were able to pay tribute to most of the previous characters. She liked the Chicago Med shout out for Tommy. And some of her favorite points were Oliver's scenes with his parents and that gut-wrenching goodbye. Definitely agree. She also liked Thea struggling. She loved Diggle as the Green Arrow. Me too.
Yeah.
And Ragman's creepy voice, that was awesome. So the newbies get a shout out in her favorites. Mm. But she, speaking of the newbies, wasn't sure what was up with Wild Dog being anti-alien and then changing his mind. She said that felt out of place. I think that had to do with the pacing, but I'm with you on that.
I was offended that he was anti-Supergirl, period, man. I was like, don't you dare talk to her that way.
Yeah, it was odd.
Not
it was,
cool.
Yeah, as you said, Kimmy, from a story point of view, it's the we have to have them, you know, prove their worth and who's going to be the
right
one. Yeah. So
well, they did that on Flash, like, oh, what makes you a superhero? And she like flies up and shoots her lasers out of her eyes. I'm like, dude, did you even have to ask her what makes her
right.
Like, don't even go there.
Like, how are you in the superhero industry and you don't know what her skills are?
You gotta prove yourself. I don't know you. Show me your powers.
Like when Mick was all like, I won't call you Supergirl. I was like, who are you? Like, did you not just go through that training? Calm down.
Although I have to admit, when he said, I'm going to call you Skirt, I laughed so hard. I'm like, she's going to kill you, dude.
I thought there would be some sort of payoff for that line, like that he would, you know, have to kind of eat his words a bit. There really wasn't much. So I was kind of like,
I would have loved it if she would have like shot his gun out of his hands with her eyes. And I would have been like, yeah, suck it, Mick.
There kind of was a little bit though, Cammy, when they all got their butts kicked and he's down on the ground, he calls out, Supergirl!
Yeah,
he needed help
true.
From her.
That's true. I was pleased with that.
That's true.
I will take that, I suppose.
Yeah.
For that line.
I really don't understand though, like why everyone was picking on her. Like that just didn't make any sense to, I mean, I know nobody's heard of her, but it just still didn't make any sense. But I guess as a viewer, we know how cool she is and they've never met her. So, okay. But it still
felt weird. I think they just kind of overdid it because her like non-superhero persona is a little bit easy to pick on within the context of these shows.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, like they think they're so tough, you know, like legends, whatever. And so they see this like little blonde girl and they're like, it just sets up for like some easy jokes. It's like easy comedic lines. They're not bad. You get a couple laughs. They kind of overdid them. They overworked that little comedic bit, but you know,
it's true. Cause she is unassuming in every way, you know, she's not ripped, you know, and she's got a really nice and charming personality. So that's a good point. I didn't thought of it like that, but gosh, I like Kara.
I love her. And she can kick all their asses.
Yeah.
Well, she did. Wasn't that amazing in their training sequence? She was just hovering and they were throwing everything at her. All of them.
I know.
And nothing.
That was funny.
That's great.
Next feedback, we've got a nice brief one here, but from regular contributor Destiny Dazzler.
Hi, O Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I really loved tonight's episode. It's very rare that Arrow makes me emotional and makes me cry, but this episode definitely did. I absolutely loved seeing everybody back. It was just a really, really fantastic episode. I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
I went through a whole box of Kleenex. No, I'm serious. I actually don't cry, but that was very emotional. I had a moistness near the tear duct, sort of.
A little bit.
That's saying something. I'm serious. I really don't cry, but it was really, I was moved.
I cry enough for both of us. That's okay, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you like record yourself doing that? And that way, when I really want to cry, I can just play your audio clip or something or.
Of just the crying?
Be sure to throw in a few Sarah or something like that.
Oh. As a Supergirl. Villain, I don't cry, but I appreciate the tears of the
Yeah. I mean, I like to make people cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Did I just say that out loud? No, really, Destiny, thank you that, and I agree wholeheartedly and beautiful.
Yeah, love it.
Green Butterfly was gracious enough to fly overhead and drop her audio message off for all of us.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly.
Wow, 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 that was amazing.
What a wonderful concept that Dreamscape was, to integrate all those old characters so that we could see so many faces for the 100th episode. I gotta admit, I got pretty choked up when I saw Laurel again for the first time. And I haven't read the comics, but I understand that Oliver and Laurel are married in some of those stories, so I'm thinking this was a really nice treat for the people that are invested in that storyline. It was absolutely beautiful, and I'm glad I got to witness it on my TV screen. I love that Cisco, in the absence of Barry in this episode, was a little bit more like his funny self. I still love Curtis and what he brings to the team. My Felicity heart was glad to see that as Felicity handed over that bow to Cisco so he could vibe, she told him to be very careful with it. They may be broken up right now, but I can tell Oliver is still important to her. It really showed strength of character to watch our heroes fight the dominators in their mind and break away from the near perfection of that illusion to return to reality and pain and suffering to help their friends and the city and the world. We didn't get a lot of Arrow plot movement in this episode, but the one thing it left me wondering about is, why does Wild Dog hate Metas so much? I feel like there's a story there. It was sad watching Oliver say goodbye to Laurel, but even worse was watching Sarah let go of her sister again. This episode gets 10 out of 10 canary necklaces.
Yeah. Oh.
Happy Superhero Friday, everyone.
Well, thank you, Justina. Excellent, excellent stuff. I wanted to say one thing really quickly, that, you know, with you flying overhead and dropping your message off, I didn't want to suggest that you were an owl from Harry Potter, as Hermione would say, you're not an owl. That was terrible.
Terrible. Oh, gosh, I'm fired. I'm out of here.
Take over. Somebody take over.
Better all right. All right. I will grab the baton.
Yes. No, much like Destiny, Green Butterfly, same way. We again, if you just drop yourself into the episode, take your podcaster glasses off and so forth. I mean, there's a lot to really enjoy in here. And as we said, the Wild Dog thing, I think that just had to fit. They had to create some way to give Supergirl and Flash a way to show off their skills. So I'm not sure we'll get more. Maybe we will. I'd be pleased if the writers kept a pin in that and brought it back, but I thought that was the plot.
I would like that too, the keeping a pin in it and bringing it back.
It is kind of funny, out of the newbies, that Wild Dog is getting more time than any of the other ones.
Yeah, it's because he's a veteran actor, that's why.
Is that why?
Yeah, that's my theory.
It would make sense that that's why.
And you know, I love the actor. I just feel the story is not there yet.
Yeah, there was I saw a poll going around over which one of the newbies people were most attached to. Not the one that we did in our last podcast ourselves, but somebody else posted it, and it was going around and had like thousands of votes on it. And Wild Dog was losing by a pretty big margin compared to the other three. So I don't know. I think he's kind of up and down, but definitely the actor is one of the more well-known ones of the ones that they've pulled into the show. So,
and I think between Wild Dog and Artemis and Rory, he by far has the most acting chops, because he's been around longer, so he has the potential and the capacity. They just haven't given it to him.
Rory's had hard to distinguish that between that and Rory.
Roy and Ray.
And Ray. Rory.
And Mick Rory. Oh my God.
Ragman has had probably the best like writing and dialogue, I want to say, but I'm not so sure that his powers fit the show. But it's okay.
Yeah. Tentacles, by the way.
Next transmission.
Yeah. Tentacles.
Yes, tentacles.
Yeah. Continue on.
Yeah, the next one we have is from one of my favorites, Erin. She posts blog posts at the end of our...
Do we know she's a she?
Yeah,
we do. Is this the same Erin?
No, it's a different one.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm very sure. I'm not very sure, but I do know that it is a she. She is a she.
I love it.
She posted some of her thoughts on Invasion. It's always great reading your posts, Erin. She said that she wasn't so crazy about the Oliver Laurel, but Cisco in the lab was great, and Curtis had some great lines. She had the same questions about where was Eve, Artemis. We had that question as well. And she does wish Sarah had mentioned Nyssa at least once in this episode. I kind of agree with that. That would have been nice. Speaking of nice, she liked seeing Oliver get owned in a fight for once. That's kind of cute. She liked Willa Holland's delivery of Thea's emotional moments. Definitely agree with that. And final pro was she liked the Supergirl Flash tag team moment. And there's lots of other great comments there too. Thank you, Aaron, for submitting thorough stuff every week. We really like hearing your thoughts.
Thank you, Aaron. You know, you said I would have to wait until after the hiatus. Thank you for revealing who you really are. Wait, oh, I'm sorry. Evil laugh. No, I thank you, because I was so confused, and now I've realized I understand your identity. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's a pleasure. And by the way, yes, it was a lot of fun trying to guess. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, I love the detailed feedback. Like you said,
my gosh,
a lot of times we can't include everything on the podcast, be it voicemails from a certain current co-host, comments, but we listen to every single one of them. We read every single one of them. They are very much appreciated.
I might have to make you prove that sometime, because you only ever, if I leave you an 8-minute voicemail, you only ever respond to maybe 5 seconds of it.
It's good that you're noticing a pattern.
Yeah. And it's usually the last 5 seconds.
I see.
No, I really though, it is fun. It's so neat to have this interaction. And I've said this before, most podcast hosts, because I interact with so many podcasters, they would kill to have this type of interaction and communication and conversation that goes on between their listeners. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen very often. And so honestly, seriously, Arrow Squad, you guys have no idea how amazing you are.
I mean, the Facebook group, the thread for the official discussion one had like 85 replies in it for less than 24 hours after the thing aired. So awesome. You folks are just, I love it. I love it. Streaming, looking through that after I've seen the episode. It's a great way to relive it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun to read everybody's comments. You guys are always insightful. And if there's ever something that we miss, like we're not sure if this is tied to the comics or not, or we're not sure, you know, who said this or what happened before, there's always somebody in the audience who's figured it out and has the reference and has the links. And that's pretty cool. Yeah. You guys are pretty cool. I'm a villain, but I'll still admit that you're all right, I guess.
Ooh, that is seriously high praise.
That's about as high as my praise goes.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and I know for a fact you don't give much praise, so.
Yeah.
I didn't just say that.
Inside.
Brian, I guess as heroes go, as a mortal enemy, you're all right.
Well,
you're one of the okay ones.
Thank you. That really, I mean,
close to a warm fuzzy blanket as I can give you.
I was going to say, that brings more emotion to me than even this episode did, and that was, wow. Thank you.
See, Cammy, I may have made a mistake in inviting you over to Tomorrow's Legends, because
you definitely did.
You're proclaiming that you're a villain over and over and over again, and my co-host Harley is also a villain. What am I doing? Yeah. I'm outnumbering myself.
I'm sure she and I would get along very well.
But I'm feeling like these two villains of yours are here. You know, I guess. Well, I'm sorry. One villain of yours and this guest villain now. I'm just feeling like you guys are, you're teetering between hero and villain.
Mm. Hmm. I think so.
Maybe you're just thinking that because you're starting to see the villainy side.
Oh, I love the psychological banter. This is wonderful. Let's.
Or we're rubbing off on them. That's what's happening.
Oh, see, exactly. Who's who?
Never know.
Well, while we're at it, Martin, since you just talked about that, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing? Pimp your shows, my friend.
All right. Well, for the fans of DC's Legends of Tomorrow, there is another podcast out there called Tomorrow's Legends, which I co-host with my dear friend Jess, otherwise known as Harley Quinn. So you can find us. We have a Facebook page called Tomorrow's Legends, and we're also online at tomorrowslegends.libsyn.com.
iTunes,
so definitely. iTunes, yep. You can find us on iTunes under Tomorrow's Legends. And like I said, the Facebook page. If you want to reach us, the email is cybercastfan@gmail.com. And that's cyberfan@gmail.com.
Not cybre, like, you know, cybre. That's like, that's wrong. Cybre.
Yeah, no.
Or sabre. Saber.
Cyber as in Siberian tiger. That's what it's actually short for. Exactly. So. But yeah, definitely. We would love to have. I know we've got a lot of crossover fans between all of our shows, and you know, definitely if there's some other Aero Squad members out there that want to check us out, it'd be great to have you come join our community over there too. Because we are one big happy family, and
dang right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I guess I like you guys.
Yes.
I don't think you'd still be here if you didn't catch on that one. Yeah. Well, Chameleon, tell us about your what you're working on in this week's episode and everything, all that.
Other than world domination, I had a summary article leading into the crossovers on Starry Magazine, and I will have one posted this weekend on Starry Magazine summarizing the crossovers. If you maybe only watch some of the shows, or if you only really are watching for a couple characters, you can just kind of jump around through that and grab the pieces of information that you need. Other than that, you can find me at Camion Ray, and I do live after shows after Arrow for about 20 minutes where we react live right afterwards. And I had Kevin's lovely face back on again this week, and it was pretty great getting to react right away and getting the raw, unfiltered thoughts about the episode. So
unedited, unfiltered.
Right. Uncensored. Come to the dark side.
Yeah.
Do you ever find, Cammy, that when you do your raw immediately after response and then later on come to Aero Squad, do you find much changes for you?
It's more elaboration on why we felt the way we felt, I think. So a lot of times when we do the live reactions, it's pretty short. We do about 20 minutes and we'll find, you know, we really like this, or, you know, we weren't responding so well to that, or we had a question. And sometimes those get answered or explained on the Aero Squad podcast. When I get to bounce ideas off of Kevin and Brian, and, you know, I guess they're kind of smart sometimes and they kind of know what they're talking about. And yeah, they're kind of cool. Don't let them get a big head, but, you know, so it kind of will help explain why we felt the way we felt. So I usually, if something was a con, it doesn't like magically become a pro or vice versa, but sometimes we get to have a little more explanation on why we felt that way right away.
Very cool.
And Cammy does a great job too, sharing those on her Facebook page. So you can still check out the recording.
Yep. The recording's on my Facebook page and links on Twitter and all of that kind of all over the place.
Very nice. Well, the difference is people get to see you because it's actually video.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to like see my face. I'm my true like green villain form. No, I'm kidding. I look like a human in the react.
See, and that's good. And I have to honestly say that each of us has a face for video. So, you know, maybe we should be doing a little more video to bless people with our charm. I mean, looks. Sorry.
All of the above. You're right.
Sorry, it's the big head that you were, you know, starting.
The big head that we were trying to avoid.
I don't care what anybody looks like. Get on video. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody's ever interested in coming on, I would be happy to have people on come react live with me right after Arrow.
Should I join you? I just don't know if I can on Wednesdays, but we'll talk.
We'll talk. I'll rope you into it somehow.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Kevin, pimp your shows, my friend.
I will just say as a bit of a tease that probably by next week, I'll have some information to confirm a couple of con appearances I'll have in 2017. So I'll share those next week.
Yes.
Make you come back.
So excited. Yes.
Well, that will be the teaser for the mid-season finale.
Oh, I love it.
Will Curtis's husband die, and will Kevin tell us where he's going to be in 2017? I'm liking this. Man, I'm coming back next week.
Me too.
I love it. I am so excited. The Real Brian Show has returned.
Yay.
I did a little bit of a tweaking and some things, and Yoda was on this week. So check it out. RealBrianShow.com. I'm actually not kidding. Yoda was on the show. So I'm working on a few things here that I'm having some fun with, but it's been a blast. And I know Flash, you've requested to be on the show. So you will be on the show. CJ Thunder of the Aero Squad is going to be on, I believe, next week. So
that is cool.
We've got some stuff to chat about. It's good. Oh man, I'm having fun. See, and you know what's exciting is when you get it right and then you start having a blast and then you get giddy about it. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
That's what it's supposed to be. And you do such a good job there, Brian. I definitely want to pat you on the back because I, like we talked behind the scenes here, when I'm listening to The Real Brian Show, every topic that you get into, I'm sitting there chomping at the bit. I want to discuss this with you.
That's awesome.
And I end up like, was it your episode this week? I end up messaging you 30 messages as if I am in a conversation with you.
I was on my phone scrolling for like a half an hour. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. You know me.
Does
though,
that sound unusual from the guy who leaves us 8-minute voicemail?
No, that's why I was laughing. I was like, here it is. This is great. My thumbs don't type fast enough to, respond yet. So that's why I said, it's in the episode. You're like, what? Why don't you respond here? I'm like, because I talk faster than I thumb.
Anyway, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Lots of fun. Well, yeah, check out all these things. All these shows. There's so much to do. There's so much to waste time. I mean, better your life with. So have fun and join us next week for the mid-season finale because, oh my gosh, this is it. What we leave behind. So I can tell you a few things we leave behind, but we'll save that for next week for, you know, Arrow to educate us. But anyway, arrowsquad.com, go there. Kevin's blog post and all of our contact information and everything you could possibly want to know. Well, maybe not everything, but I guess a lot there. Yeah, go there. Have some fun.
The majority of anything you would ever
want. Totally. But thank you. This has been fun. I mean, we were not able to get 9 people together, which I think would have been a 17-hour episode of mass chaos.
Oh, man, yeah.
So I think this worked perfectly. It was really fun.
Yeah.
A small crossover.
Yeah.
Good.
I appreciate it. Well, hope you enjoyed it, but we'd love to hear your feedback as always. And then we'll go radio silent for 6 weeks after next week. I'm not going to get on social media. Not going to talk to anybody. Totally kidding. I'm out of here, man. Shadow signing off.
Podcast Overlord out.
I'm Cammy and I'm leaving.
And this is The Flash. Thank you, Aero Squad, for having me on. I'm out of here.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.